Thanks for joining us on the JX today. Up first is Ukraine. Despite all the news coverage, the country can still seem a long way off and more than a little mysterious. A program at Harvard University recently chose a handful of American teachers to develop curriculum for students to learn more about Ukraine, and Ashland High School teacher Paul Heward is one of them. Paul, thanks for joining us on the JX.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure.
Now, you have already developed a bit of history with Ukraine. What drew you to the country in the first place?
I cut my teeth on European history, specifically on the history of Russia and the Soviet Union. That convinced me, as a matter of fact, in college to become a history major. And Ukraine and its particular identity was something that always fascinated me. It was not a country that went willingly into the old USSR. In fact, fought it incredibly. In recent years, particularly before COVID, I wanted to go visit Ukraine. I didn't have a chance to do so until after the Russian escalation of the war. But it's a nation of enormous beauty, incredible culture, and world significance that most people don't know about. It's one of the most important countries in the world most people haven't heard about, at least before the 2022 war.
I can just imagine, though, with your knowledge of the history of Ukraine and its unique culture, that in addition to the fact that bombs were being dropped, the rationale being given for them was way off the mark.
Yes. If I understand what you're saying correctly, I think what drew me to Ukraine to go there and help was from a moral point of view. It was important for me to do that because, one, I really did feel it was the right thing to do. I mean, I don't have a hero complex or anything like that, but like hundreds of thousands of people in the world that have gone through Ukraine to volunteer, and it's literally been that many people from the foreign community. I was just shocked, outraged. I couldn't believe that something like that was happening in the 21st century, which probably sounds naive, but that was really the way I felt. And also the sense that as a person who studied military and diplomatic history in 19th century and 20th century Europe, I've read this book before. I know how it ends if people don't help, if people don't do the right thing. So I wanted to, in my own small way, try to help and hope for the best outcome rather than the outcome I feared.
So you have visited since the war began more than once?
I worked on the Ukraine-Polish border in 2022. I was in western Ukraine in 2023 for most of my summer vacations both times.
Well, and give a sketch of what you've seen and done and what you feel like when you get back and have time to process what you've seen and done.
Sure. What I saw was a nation of people struggling to maintain normalcy. I saw Ukrainians that had experienced horrible things, particularly when I worked on the Ukrainian-Russian border. I worked in Chemish, Poland, which, if you can think back to the early days of the full-scale Russian invasion in 2022, tens of thousands of people were fleeing west, and they were arriving in Poland at railway stations. One of the railway stations that seemed to always be on CNN, BBC, MSNBC, name whatever, you know, news channel you want to mention, was Chemish. So as if you have memories of watching people get off the train, I was working there. And I did so through my church, which has an international humanitarian outreach. And I worked with Ukrainian counterparts. I got to talk to men, women, children who were escaping the war. And often they described things that could only be called war crimes. The Russian occupiers were absolutely ruthless and did horrible things to the Ukrainian people. I don't know if you want me to mention the specifics, but anybody who has followed the news, anything you've heard in terms about what the Russians have done to the Ukrainians and areas of occupation, it's completely true. How do I process that? I know I can only help the people in front of me, and I tried hard to help them. I did everything in Chemish that I was asked to do, which included helping people move luggage from the train to the train station and finding the social services that were available. Working with my Ukrainian counterparts in operating a safe space for moms that were traveling unaccompanied or with their children, but with nobody else, with no other family members. And I was able to essentially run errands for this safe space, raise some money for it, try to keep it in operation. By the way, it was in operation until just a couple of months ago. In Ukraine, I helped sort medical supplies, loaded vans, drove a few missions where food and medical supplies were delivered to towns in southwestern Ukraine. One of the major problems is even if the western part of the country is relatively unaffected by the war, there are still supply chain and supply line problems. And many of these towns, even if they're not being, you know, directly smacked by Russian bombardment, still have desperate need for supplies because a lot of what is needed is pushed east because that is essentially where the war is the most acute. So getting things out to people just to make sure that they, if they went to a hospital or clinic, they had readily available medical supplies, or just making sure that food was available because the trucks that would bring the food to market just simply aren't able to do that in some cases. Was some of the work that I did. How did I process it? I just try to remember that I did the best that I could to help as many people as I could, but I, you know, would help people one at a time. And I appreciated the gratitude that I was shown by many Ukrainians. But more than anything, I just had a sense that I was, in a small way, making a difference. And it was simultaneously the most fulfilling and also the most heartbreaking thing I probably have done in my adult life.
Paul Hewitt is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a teacher at Ashland High School and one of the teachers chosen for the On Ukraine project from the Davis Center at Harvard University. We'll get to that in just a moment. How have you, prior to the On Ukraine project, incorporated what you've learned in Ukraine and what you did there into your teaching in Ashland?
You know, that's a good question. It basically happens after the advanced placement exam. I'm the AP U.S. history teacher at Ashland High School. And frankly, Ukraine as a nation is something that you could talk about a little bit in the absolute last days of the curriculum before the AP exam. But obviously the curriculum for an advanced placement course on United States history is very focused on United States history. Now, after the exam, I can pretty much do whatever I want. And for the last 2 years after the exam, I essentially taught mini units on why students should care about what's going on in Ukraine, taught it from the perspective of current events, showed them maps of Ukraine, allowed them to see it in context geographically with the rest of the Eurasian continent, helped them understand its importance to the world economy, take some time to understand why it's been important in the history of Europe and regrettably important as an invasion route. If the Russian perspective is something that the Russian perspective is something that people need to understand. And I'm not validating anything that Vladimir Putin has done. But if you're Vladimir Putin, you look west and you realize there are no mountains between Moscow and Germany. Regrettably, Ukraine has been invasion route through the plains of Europe into Russia multiple times in history. And I also try to give the Ukrainian perspective on what's going on, which is Ukraine never asked to be part of either the Russian Empire or the Soviet Union. It struggled with its own national aspirations for 150 years. And after the fall of the Soviet Union in 1991, this was seen as the opportunity by the Ukrainian people to finally realize those aspirations. And it has been a struggle in the 20th century before Russia began military operations in Ukraine. And actually, 2014, we tend to forget that, but portions of eastern Ukraine were unilaterally annexed through military force by Russia.
So talk about the development of this On Ukraine project. It sounds like a great fit for somebody with your knowledge and experience.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I think the way I look at it, it was a long shot. I mean, this is Harvard we're talking about. And I mean, I'm not trying to be, you know, overly modest or anything like that. But I still, see myself as a school teacher in a rural community, and the chance to work with one of the best universities in the world, with some of the best scholars on that region of the world, is incredibly powerful and also very humbling. I have a friend of mine who I met through the humanitarian community in Ukraine and in Poland, who sent me a WhatsApp message about 3.5 months ago. She is an instructor in Slavic languages at University of Indiana, Bloomington. And the message was basically, hey, Paul, have you seen this? And there was a link with it. And it was essentially an invitation to apply as a teacher for this program. It was open application, but it was a competitive process. And I figured, okay, this sounds wonderful. I honestly thought it was a long shot. But I had nothing to lose, and I certainly would not have any chance if I didn't apply. So I went through the application process, which was a lot of essays and the like, and found myself one of six speakers who was selected for this program, which is an opportunity to work with people not only at the Davis Center, but to work with scholars from Ukraine, specifically from the Lviv Museum for Urban Studies, and collaborate with other teachers as well, and work together to come up with curriculum that we can not only use our classroom, but that will be made available to any teachers that want it.
Paul Hewitt is our guest on The Exchange, an Ashland High School teacher going to be helping develop a curriculum about Ukraine through the On Ukraine project through the Davis Center at Harvard University. Have you already had a meeting with the other people involved in the project?
No, that begins in June, and it will initially be virtual meetings via Zoom. In fact, we're still trying to hash out the days and times that we do that, because essentially we're talking about time zones that stretch from the Pacific coast of the United States all the way to Ukraine, which is zone plus nine for those of us in Ashland, Oregon. So trying to find a day and a time where we can meet, and it's not the crack of dawn for somebody or the middle of the night, has been very interesting. But we're settling down on that. There'll be three meetings this summer virtually.
We have about 2 minutes left, and I'm curious to know, Paul, what is the thing you most want, maybe not the kids to learn, but the parents of the kids who get the curriculum to know and to understand about Ukraine?
I want them to understand, and I want the kids to understand this too, that Ukraine is more than a war. It's a country with a rich and vibrant culture. It is a country that is incredibly important to the world economy. I mean, 20% of all the cereal grains consumed on this planet come from Ukraine. It was famously called the breadbasket of the Soviet Union during the Soviet period. But it's more than a war. It's more than the stereotypes that have existed about Ukraine. It is a nation that is a fellow democracy, and that I would hope the parents and the kids would understand that fellow democracies are worth knowing about. They can make their own political decisions about support for Ukraine. That is, the kids' right, as far as I'm concerned. But I think it's really important for them to know that this is a nation that, one, was promised by the United States that we would help protect their democracy. And secondly, this is a nation of people that, despite the fact that their government has had numerous problems in terms of developing a free and fair government, they're trying really hard to be part of the community of liberal democracies on this planet. You know, our own nation had a lot of teething problems when it first got started. And I think people need to learn that as well. So I'm still thinking about what I want to do specifically, but I hope I'm able to help students and their parents understand this is a nation worth knowing about, and that, yes, my students need to know about the United States, but they need to know about the world. They're going to be voters very soon in a nation that is often the make-weight of the international order. And I just simply want them to have the facts and the critical thinking, I should say, and the ability to be informed voters.
Well, congratulations on being chosen for the On Ukraine program, despite your concern that it was Harvard. This isn't me. It sounds like you're in pretty good company there. And thanks for sharing the story with us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for talking to me. I really appreciate it.
More coming on the Exchange about women and medicine after a break. This is JPR.